hands down, the most embarrassing mistake I made as a restaurant owner was hiring the wrong accountant and trusting that he was doing the right thing. Now, the main thing that he was in charge of was sales tax. And long story short, didn't get paid on time, didn't get paid in full. And our little 40-seat restaurant wound up owing the state of New York $180,000 in sales tax. But that was before Davo. Davo automates your sales tax. It integrates with your POS, so it automatically sets aside the sales tax funds daily. Then, when it comes time to remit these funds to the state, Davo files and pays the sales tax for you on time and in full. You know, it's easier. Take a little bit out every day as opposed to this big chunk due at the end of the month or at the end of the quarter. It would have changed my business, would have changed really my life. Because let's face it, when you're running a restaurant, those bills that are due, they keep you awake at night. Not with Davo. It's all taken care of. So it integrates with your POS. So whether you have Toast, Square, Clover, Lightspeed, SkyTab, whatever you have, Revel, they integrate with them and they're adding new partners every day. So you never have to worry about sales tax again. In the show notes, there's a link where you can schedule a call with the customer success team. Let them know that you heard about Davo on the Close Monday podcast and they'll hook you up. Never worry about sales tax ever again. Keep your eye on what matters, which is running your business day in, day out, and let Davo take care of the sales tax. What is up, guys? Welcome to Close Monday. My name is Kyle and Sarah, and this is the show for restaurant owners, for chefs, for culinary students, for startup restaurants, anyone brave enough to take on the challenge of running a restaurant and the pursuit of being what we like to call a restaurant entrepreneur. This is your absolute lifeline, your go-to for real-world, no-nonsense, in-depth chats and war stories from people who have been in your shoes. Now, you're all on the same quest here, looking for that perfect solution, that perfect piece of technology that's going to streamline your operations, the killer marketing strategy, the new social media platform that's going to put your restaurant on the map, the rock solid suppliers who've always got your back. But let's not be naive, there's a lot more to this. Most importantly, things like capital raising, making sense of insurance, and playing real estate like a professional. That's all part of the package. And one of my favorite parts, by the way. But what you need to understand is that each one of these challenges, they're really just opportunities. And as industry veterans, myself, my guests, we're gonna bring battle-hardened knowledge and cutting-edge insights to the table every single week. We've been in it. We've had our neck on the line. We've lost money. We've made money. We've had staff. We've lost staff. We know how it impacts our personal lives. We're gonna help you navigate this entire business. Our goal, sole goal, is to give you the information to reach your goals while you stay true to what's most important to you. And what I know, what's important to you are things like quality, hospitality, innovation, sustainability, staying ahead of the curve, staying up with trends, and of course, providing an unforgettable guest experience. So whether you're a seasoned professional, you're a restaurant entrepreneur, or you're a rookie about to jump into your first business, grab a seat, pour yourself a drink, a cup of coffee, put your AirPods on, grab the dog, go for a walk, hit the treadmill, sit on the couch, whatever you're gonna do, we're gonna drop some serious knowledge on you, and it starts right now. Welcome to Close Monday. All right, guys, welcome back to Close Monday. I'm Kyle and Sarah, and look, I owe you an apology. Oh, jeez. Let's start again. All right, guys, welcome back to Close Monday. I'm your host. Kyle and Sarah, and I owe you an apology. I am struggling with maintaining a consistent schedule because we have a newborn. Our son, Luca Valentino, was born in August. He's just about 6 months old, but if you have kids, particularly young ones, you understand the challenges that come with that. The sleep deprivation, the changes in your daily routine. So don't want to dwell on that, but I want to make a promise to you guys right now, right here, that I will not miss another episode for the rest of this year and hopefully beyond. We'll be on every Monday like clockwork. So I appreciate you sticking with me and understanding that. I should be more transparent about what's happening behind the scenes there, but it is frustrating. It's frustrating because I can't get there. You know, it's right there. It doesn't take much, right? Got the mic, got the camera, set it up. So here we are. We're back at it. And one thing before we get into the topics for today, I need your help. We are focusing on some lifestyle topics that I think are going to be of interest to you guys. Now, my demographics show, okay, ladies, don't get upset with me, that the majority of the listeners of this show are men aged 29 to 49. So that being the case, we pulled up a bunch of different lifestyle topics that we think would be interesting to men of that age and women. I don't doubt that you will fall into some of these interests as well, or some of these, whatever they are, some of these categories where you're going to be like, yeah, I want to know about that. So let's just start from the top of the three that we're going to start out with, hopefully getting some guests on that can speak to this. One is cigar etiquette. Guys, I have been that person where I'm like, I don't want a cigar because I don't know how to cut it. I don't know how to do anything with it. I still kind of feel that way. A couple of my buddies are real cigar guys. So, you know, they know by now that I'm not that big cigar head. So they cut me a break. But I just think it's one of those skill sets that everybody needs to know, man or woman. I've seen some women know how to, you know, unwrap a cigar, cut a cigar, light a cigar better than guys. So I think it's a skill set they need to have when you're rolling in this community, particularly like hospitality. I think sometimes those networking events are like cigar nights and poker nights. And I don't know, I could be wrong. I think people like cigars. So whatever, shoot me. It's true. I do think it's true. Two is I need somebody on here who can speak to us about sneakers. I'm a wannabe sneakerhead. You know, my wife would kill me if I'm investing hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars a month into sneakers, particularly with this with this newborn here, my baby Luca. But I'm fascinated by it. I love cool sneakers. I love vintage sneakers coming back in style. So somebody who speaks to sneakerhead culture and what it's all about. And then lastly, it may be a little contradictory to my first one, but fitness. Guys, ladies, over 30, let's be honest, it changes. Our workout, our ability to do these workouts changes. How do we handle it? Because I know most of us, me included, will do the bullshit workout to get through the gym, not really get any results. But how do we stay consistent? What's a workout we can follow that makes sense and kind of meshes with our busy lifestyle and the goals, right, that we want? So that's it. Cigar etiquette, a sneakerhead, and a fitness professional who can tell us all how to stay disciplined and all that stuff. So I really want to lean into the lifestyle stuff in addition to the restaurant operational stuff. So hopefully that makes sense to you guys. If you have topics that you would also be interested in, we have a whole list. I think we had like 230 things that we came up with. Sure, we missed one or two. So please feel free to suggest some topics. We'd love to talk about it. And also, every show now will have a segment, right? I should know that word by now. A segment with a couple of the hot topics of the week. All right, so this is a segment I'm going to call the Pulse, I guess. Is that cheesy? I don't know. This is a segment I'm going to call the Pulse. This is three topics that I'm really think are kind of, they stood out to me as I was looking online this morning. So first things first, restaurant sales expected to top $1 trillion for the first time in 2024. Restaurant sales are projected to reach a record $1.1 trillion in 2024, a 10.3% increase from the previous year, surpassing the trillion-dollar mark for the first time in history. Now, this is exactly what I said. It's misleading because everyone had to raise their prices, right? They had to increase their labor expenditure. So with food expenses being up 20% and wages being 30% higher, everyone's profits were going to shit, right? So what do? They had to raise prices. So this way, gross sales, gross sales are going to obviously go up. It does say that consumer behavior is shifting towards seeking discounts and smaller portions at reduced prices due to inflation, with a high willingness to dine at off-peak time for discounts. Now, that could be a potential opportunity. The restaurant industry faces a labor challenge with 45% of operators lacking sufficient staff to meet demand and 70% finding positions difficult to fill and 70% finding positions difficult to fill and near full employment. So, look, these are not new topics. Part of the reason why I want to cover more things because you guys know that this is what's going on. But it's interesting when you hear those percentages, right? I have had the experience of going out to restaurants locally here and the places are packed. They are absolutely jam-packed. I was waiting for a pickup order the other day and the Irish bar next to the place where I was picking up sushi, I heard the kid come out and tell his parents at about 7:40 on a Friday night that it was an hour and a half wait. Hour and a half wait to sit in an Irish bar. So that is cranking. So hopefully you guys are experiencing that as well. New York adopts new rules for passing along credit card fees to customers. Now, look, I think that this is a New York thing, obviously, but it seems as this is going to be something that's going to happen in other states. New York has implemented new regulations requiring restaurants to clearly disclose credit card processing fees on menus, offering one inclusive price or separate prices for each for cash and card payments effective immediately. So I guess it's going to be like gas, cash price, credit price. The law does mandate that restaurants can only pass the actual cost of the credit card service fee to the customers. So you can't go charging more than what you're getting or what you're paying from your processor. The FTC is exploring broader regulations. But ultimately, I don't know. I'd love to know what you guys think about this. I think it makes a lot of sense. I always think about it this way. And I think you should think about it the same way too. Would you just give away 3.5% to somebody on the street? And what would you expect in return? So that's what these credit cards are doing. They're charging you a fee, a hefty fee. That's why a lot of folks are not taking Amex and they're limiting to, you know, certain types of credit cards. And it's eroding at their profits because now nobody spends cash. Everybody's spending on the credit card. It's destroying profits. What other choice do you have? I would love to know what you guys are doing because I know there's also pushback to putting that on the menu saying like, hey, we're charging you now credit cards. People are going to get pissed off. Some people are going to be like, hey, I get it. It's going to be one of those things that you have to say, hey, guys, is what it is. I think ultimately people will be upset, but they're going to have no choice but to come back. I mean, what do you do? You're just going to not eat at your favorite restaurant because they're charging you an extra 3%. They're charging $3 on every $100. I mean, I would guarantee most people wouldn't even notice that. Right? So, but it doesn't mean that you shouldn't put it out there. Obviously you gotta let people know. So, that's here in New York. But again, I just have a gut feeling that this is going to be something that takes off, all across the country. Last one, TikTokers spark heated debate over birthday dinner etiquette, including who should pay. Now, I don't know if you guys saw this video. I'll link it in the show notes. But basically, it's this dude, Sean Lands. He has an experience of being invited to a friend's very expensive birthday dinner. And when he checked out where the restaurant was and what the menu looked like, he was like, man, I am not going to a party. I can't afford to go to this party where the minimum price for an entree was like $41. So he thought he did the honorable thing. And this is, I think, where the debate begins. I guess the deal was we're going to go to dinner. Everyone's going to hang out, have a good time. Everyone's going to pay their own way. And then afterwards, we're going to go out for drinks. So this dude says, I'll just meet you guys out for drinks. Seems fair. He gets to the after drinks party. The guy says to him, hey, just so you know, birthday boy over there was not so thrilled that he didn't come to the dinner and you're here. And he's like, basically, screw him. He should know better than to invite everyone to a super expensive restaurant unless he's footing the bill. So there's a huge debate going on right now about the expectation. If you get invited to a birthday dinner at a restaurant, are you expecting to pay or are you expecting them to pay? You clarify it. If it's a good friend, like, hey, dude, what's up with us going to this fancy place? You don't have $300 to spend on dinner. I think it's fair. I've been in both situations. So I think it's a fair point. Showing up at the after party, I mean, it seems kind of petty for this dude to be pissed off. The dude can't afford to go. He can't afford to go, right? So what are you going to do? But that is the debate that's going on TikTok. So if you're interested in getting in on that debate, the comments are pretty funny. I will link this dude's, I've seen dude a lot, this guy, this gentleman's TikTok in the show notes below. So.
Hey everyone, Avi Gorin, CEO and co-founder of Marquee. And I want to talk about the customer journey for a second. You never know as a restaurant owner where your guests are truly coming from. End of the day, we do see some patterns around two types of search behaviors, direct versus discovery. Direct search, for an example, would be jumping into Google and saying Cali barbecue hours, right? I know where I want to go to eat, but I'm missing a key detail. I need a little bit more information. Discovery, which is the bulk of searches, is barbecue in San Diego, restaurants near me, takeout near me, right? One of the best ways to be found for more discovery searches is leveraging keywords. Reviews are basically free content for you to leverage. Think about keywords that are relevant to your brand, your location, and include as many of those in your review responses as possible, right? How can you go about doing this? Let's set up reports, utilize tools like Google Trends, find out what's going on in your area and how you can help leverage these keywords and review responses because someone else is doing that, right? If you need some examples, you could do anything from including summer menu, gluten-free menu, leverage specific menu items like the dreaded and beloved spice pumpkin anything in your review responses, right? Let them know what's coming. Let your reviewers know something they should come back and try. And of course, if all of this just seems overwhelming and daunting because you're already running a restaurant and have enough on your plate, just leverage the team at Marquee to do this for you. We handle all of this. We're experts in this space. We can automate this. So it's just another item that you know you are taking care of. Again, that's marquee.com, M-A-R-Q-I-I, M-A-R-Q-I-I.com. Know you. However, we did recently buy M-A-R-Q-U-I-I.com. So if you do misspell it, we got you. You'll still find us. We can still help you.
All right. This question of owning the restaurant real estate versus leasing is probably number two when it comes to questions that I get in regards to building out a restaurant brand or real estate strategy. Number one is raising money. But this is a question that a lot of folks ask. So let's just run through it relatively quickly here. Okay. Man, out of practice. You see, that's what happens. So I have put together a list here. You guys know I love my notes. So this is my whole takeaway here is that there's not one answer for everybody. So somebody may be more of an operator as opposed to like a hands-on owner. So they might look at this situation differently. Or maybe you're an operator and you're like, I don't mind being a landlord. I got some tenants upstairs that help me cover the nut and all that stuff. And I'm fine with it. I have to go fix a sink or something, but it's definitely not a universal answer to everybody. So let's just jump into it. So owning the real estate, obviously there are some pros to that. So let's talk about the first one that's front and center and obvious is it's a long-term investment. Historically, real estate goes up, right? Appreciates in value. You can do a lot with that. So that's a positive. You are owning an asset in a market that you know is successful for your business. Now, that's a major key we'll touch on later, but you own the asset. So being that you own the asset, you can control everything. You can knock down a wall. You can paint something. You can, you know, do something in the parking lot. You can change the lighting. You can change the overall layout, the floor. You can do whatever you want, right? It's yours. That is a huge thing for people. You have no restriction from the landlord. You don't have to go to them and say, hey, is it okay if we, you don't have to do that. But it's, could be a lot, right? Could be a lot there. You're going to have to now understand what it takes to do this type of work on a regular basis, right? Painting, not so much painting, but moving, plumbing, electrical, things of that nature. So, but people like that type of control. And unless you're a single tenant asset, another pro here is you're going to have some tenants there that can help generate revenue. It's going to help you diversify where your money's coming in. And that can be helpful while you're running a restaurant, particularly as you're just starting up. But to me, you know, the cons of it are just, I start with the cons just because I want to know the negative stuff first and then see if I can figure it out, see if it's something I can actually deal with, or is this just somebody's opinion? But the number one con when it comes to owning real estate is the cost. So there is a significant capital requirement that you need to fulfill if you're going to buy a property. And that requirement doesn't just include the cost of the mortgage, right? You're now responsible for maintenance. You're now responsible for taxes, insurance. All of those things are going to cut into your cash flow, right? So if you have a huge repair, something major happens, water main breaks in the street and floods your basement or whatever the case may be, it's on you. So you're going to not only have to have cash to purchase and close on the property, but you're going to have cash on hand to cover these things because they will come up. Now, the second thing I'll say, and this, you know, is a potential con depending on your business, but you have no flexibility, right? There's no flexibility when it comes to owning that property. You are going to be there until the day you sell it. So if the restaurant starts to fail, you are in a position now where you have to make it work or you have to find another tenant. Now, if the restaurant doesn't work because it's a bad location or the restaurant doesn't work because it's next to a dump that you didn't know about or something's toxic on the property, you got a situation. So do your homework. Make sure you're not signing up for any of that crap because you want to make sure that even though you have little flexibility, if things don't work out, you could always rent to another restaurant operator or maybe another retailer or a gas station or knock it down and make it a ground lease. But that's something to think of too. Another con of owning the real estate is that all that money. So let's say you buy $1 million property. It's going to cost you, let's say you put 10% down, that's $100,000 down for the mortgage. You have to pay the closing costs. Let's call that the attorney's fees and all that stuff another $10,000 to $15,000. Then you're going to have cash on hand to cover all the taxes, the potential maintenance, and all of the insurance, and like we just discussed. That means all of your cash, some of you are in different situations, maybe you got a shitload of money, so it doesn't matter. But for most of us, that's going to be a challenge because what if you want that money for something else? You can't take it. You can't take it. You need to keep it in here because you don't want to lose your asset. So tying up all of your cash in your restaurant's real estate is potentially restricting you from growth opportunities or improving your own business. So that's another one. Now, here are, for those of you who aren't in leasing or who are leasing, the benefits of leasing, right? So we're not talking about interest rates or any of that type of stuff, but it's basically just the opposite of everything we just spoke about when it comes to owning. Leasing, much less to get started, right? Pay your security deposit, first, last month, whatever. It's a fraction of what it costs to buy a property. So you're in there quicker. You still have all that cash on the side to do what you want. Could be great. Again, no universal answer. Flexibility. You may have signed a 10-year lease. Depending on how you negotiated, you could have some opportunities to get out of there. But I think the ability to cancel that lease and leave, giving you more flexibility, is a huge relief, right? Things don't start to work out. You get a divorce, God forbid. You get sick, even worse. You want to be able to get out of that lease and move on. You don't want to be trapped to something that isn't working, like we just spoke about. And as it pertains to startups, one of the other things I'll say about a pro of leasing real estate is the responsibility of repairs and maintenance are not on you. They're on the landlord, right? So again, how you structure the lease is very important. But typically how things go in that restaurant, as things break down, they're not going to be on you. So that's something you get to pass off to your landlord, which is a huge thing. On the downside, three things that I think are a major issue with leasing. the expense, right? So now you're paying every month and you could be putting that money aside to eventually buy your own property or buy a house or buy a food truck or expand to another location. But you're paying this rent. Hopefully it's not too much for you to swallow every month and you're not building any value. So that's a major con. Not having control is number two. We talked before about the freedom to do what you want in this other restaurant situation where you bought it. Here, you got to run everything by the landlord. You could probably do it, but they have to agree to in writing. Rental increases. They could choose not to renew you. You just lose a lot of control with a lease. And that, you know, where it all comes down to relationship with your landlord. So that's important as well. Variable costs, the last one. Unpredictability of your rent increases. Some of you are tied to a CPI, which sucks. Hopefully you didn't do that. Most of you have a fixed increase, but it can make it complicated when it comes to trying to figure out how much money you're going to make with all these other added expenses you have in here. The addition of not having clarity on what your rental increases could be, what maintenance increases could be, anything of that nature is a headache for you, right? Consistency is your friend when it comes to running a business. You know where your sales are, you know your expenses are going to be, you know how much money you're going to make in an ideal world. The variable costs associated with leasing property can be another major con. So that's it. That's basically it. I think that, you know, the decision between owning and leasing really depends on your individual goals, how much money you have, and frankly, the condition of the market. Is it a good time to buy in general? Not just, is it a good time to buy for you? I would suggest that you carefully consider both options because the long-term implications of both can really have a lasting impact on your business's growth, their financial health, and just the strategy of which you're going to continue to run your business for the rest of your days here on this planet. So hopefully I didn't rumble to that too much. If you have any questions, obviously always hit me up. You can email me at kyle@4-turns.com. You can also DM me, Kyle and Sarah, on Instagram, on TikTok. LinkedIn is also cool. And again, I apologize. I should not have gone this long without putting out an episode. And it won't happen again. And this was, I just feel like this was a little bit of a heavier lift for me because I'm just out of practice. But I will get back into that role. If you guys have any questions, you want to make fun of me, please do so. But I will put that TikTok video in the show notes along with links to our sponsors and all that fun stuff. Next week, I actually have a client of mine on, actually three guys from the Taco Project here in Westchester County. They are great, great guys. And they will tell you exactly what they've done to get the 5 units and what it has been like to try to find a 6th store. Am I wrong? They're 4 going to 5. They're 4 going to 5. So they're going to tell you exactly what it's like to go from 4 stores to 5. Or my clients, right? I should know. 4 stores going to 5. They'll tell you what that was like in 2023. And hopefully you guys check it out. If not, don't forget. Do not forget to let me know if you have a cigar expert, a sneakerhead expert, and a fitness expert that you'd recommend for the show. If you suggest them, if they sign on, I will send you a swag pack that you can wear proudly around saying, this is my favorite restaurant podcast, and I want to wear this swag because he posts every single Monday consistently. All right, guys, gals, thank you so much. I'll see you next week. All right, folks, that's another episode of Close Monday in the bag. Look, if you've been listening and you're still here, it's clear that you're someone who's committed to taking their business and their life to the next level. So just don't let this be something that you just listen to and forget about. You got to take action on what you learned today. And look, I don't ask for a lot from you guys. Here's the deal. If you found any value in this episode, please subscribe. Leave me a review. Not for me, but for yourself. You don't want to miss the actionable insights that we've got lined up for future episodes, the guests who have their story to share. And if you think this podcast could change someone else's game, could change their direction of their business, of their restaurant, then understand that your network is your net worth. So if you share that with people, you start to become you're the one, right? You're the one they're going to go to, and you start to attract the right people into your life. You attract more people into your business, and that's just the way that it goes. Now for some real interaction. Like I said, if you screenshot that you are listening to this show, tag the show, tag me. I will send you a Close Monday t-shirt. And if you've got a burning question or topic you want to tackle, like I said, you can always DM or shoot me an email at kyle@4-turns.com. Your question just might be the focus point of a whole new episode. That's it, right? Like that's kind of how this goes. We're always looking for inspiration. So keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your feet on the ground. Stay humble. And until next week, this is Close Monday. And I'll see you soon. Thanks, guys.